the voice of Minnesota. It's Brett Johnson and Hunter Haas on your Monday afternoon. I think it's, is it 2 weeks to Election Day tomorrow, or is it 3 weeks?
I think it's three.
Man, that's coming up fast, though. We've been thinking about Election Day for the past year and a half, and all of a sudden, it is coming up quick.
Yeah.
Very, very quick.
22 days.
22 days exact. Wow. Of course, you can vote already. I mean, you don't have to wait to Election Day, but I always kind of like the tradition of going into the polls right on the very day.
Uh-huh. It's smart to vote ahead, but yeah, I like the experience as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or in case anything changes in races, hopefully nothing will, where, you know, a candidate might have to unexpectedly drop out or something like that. But yeah, I like going on Election Day, get those cookies, get to figure out how many people are in there, all that fun stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fun. Where I vote, it's Church in Chaska, where my Indivisible meetings are, which is tonight, by the way.
What Indivisible group? Let's give them a shout out.
Yeah, the lady who works there is a big part of the Indivisible group. So when I go there, I see a ton of people I like and know, and it's always fun. So yeah, I show up on Election Day.
Is that like a Chaska Indivisible group, or
yeah,
is this
Chaska
CD? Okay.
Indivisible?
Yeah, that's part of the CD3 Indivisible group, isn't it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a massive group they got going on with lots of great stuff. We got to get them on the show one more time before Election Day. But
a lot of subgroups are very active.
Mm-hmm. What I've been asking a lot of Indivisible groups, and I can probably ask you, put you on the spot regarding your Chaska Indivisible group. What's the plan after Election Day?
Well, keep our representatives accountable. Mm-hmm. Like, no matter who wins, we still have the same core values. So whether it's a Democrat or Republican, we still push them to make sure they're doing the things that we stand for.
Good to know. And hopefully, you stay active as well, because I just feel like so often with the Democrats, we feel like there's always finish line elections. You know, we've said this on a lot of other shows. Matt said it a few times. 2008 for a lot of Democrats kind of felt like a finish line.
Yeah.
We got the House, we got the Senate, we got Obama in office. Wipe our hands.
And I
We're
made
done.
That mistake too. Mm-hmm. I mean, I let up. I wasn't as active for that stretch of years. And I learned from that mistake.
Well, see, I voted in 2010, but I've brought this up, how there's different levels of enthusiasm that you have, where, you know, I was still enthusiastic about 2010, but nowhere near that I was in 2008. So important to stay involved beyond Election Day. You got 3 weeks to go, but then it starts all over. 2020 cycle coming up, and we still have lots of big races here in Minnesota, including the entire state Senate is going to get on the ballot. So even if we're not able to flip that one Senate seat, which I believe Joe Persky is running for on behalf of the DFL against, blanking on the name of the Republican.
Either.
Yeah, but he's one of the House members in that Senate district, also a pretty strong candidate. So if we're not able to flip that district, we got another chance in 2020. Of course, Tina Smith, if she wins, will be up for election yet again in 2020. So that's going to start up all over again. And then the big orange guy is going to be up on the ballot as well nationally, and hopefully we get rid of him in 2020. So stay involved with your group. Stay involved in politics. 2018 is not the finish line. Even if we're able to flip the Minnesota House, flip Congress, actually, we're not flipping the governor's mansion. That's already in DFL hands. But if we get all those races to go our way as Democrats, you still got to get involved and stay involved for 2020. So speaking of 2020, one of the potential 2020 candidates, Elizabeth Warren, starting off a little national here on the show today, was in the news because, well, we've heard Donald Trump criticize Elizabeth Warren on this so many times, calling her Pocahontas, which is just terrible to do. I mean, he even did this during a ceremony where he was supposed to be honoring Native Americans, and he ended up just going on some sort of odd, bizarre rant and tangent against Elizabeth Warren, again, during a ceremony honoring Native Americans, talking about Pocahontas and how he calls her that. But I digress. Apparently, it has been proven Elizabeth Warren indeed does have partial Native American blood. She actually ran a DNA test over the weekend, and it came back positive. So she is correct when she says she is part Native American. The reason I bring that up is that she challenged Donald Trump and said, actually, Trump challenged her. I had this in reverse. Trump actually said he would offer $1 million of personal donations to Warren's favorite charity if she took a DNA test and it confirmed her Cherokee ancestry. And of course, that happened over the weekend. So what do you know? Donald Trump should be paying $1 million to her favorite charity. She's been out on Twitter tweeting about this. And of course, Donald Trump is completely ignoring it. In fact, just kind of showing a lot of the cognitive dissonance he has. Some of the members of the media asked him about this earlier today, and he said, "I didn't say that." Just flat out denying he ever said it.
That's his move.
Yeah. "I never said that." You could play back a tape of him saying that, and he'd say, "Well, it was somebody else."
Yeah.
"It was Alec Baldwin."
Well, it works, because then a couple hours later, there's a new thing to talk about, so he gets out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. What I also found kind of funny about this, too, is that they asked Kellyanne Conway, of course, Trump's press person. Everyone loves Kellyanne Conway. Here's what she said about the whole thing. Now, here's the quote from Kellyanne Conway. She said, "The facts suggest you are absolutely have a Native American ancestry pedigree." Kellyanne Conway said, here's the quote, "I haven't looked at the test. I know that everybody likes to pick their junk science or sound science, depending on the conclusion. It seems some days, but I haven't looked at the DNA test, and it really doesn't interest me." Essentially what she said. She just thinks it's junk science and is saying it's fake news. Again, very typical of Republicans to say that. So there you go. Apparently Elizabeth Warren was right the entire time, but Donald Trump reneging on his promise to pay $1 million to Elizabeth Warren's charity of her choice. What a surprise, Donald Trump not paying money he said he would. Sounds like a pattern he's had from the past. Randy in Coon Rapids is on the line. How you doing, Randy?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing? It's nice to see the sun shining again.
Absolutely. Yeah, we've had like a 15-day rainstorm, it seems like.
I know. Felt like we were in Seattle or something.
Mm-hmm. No kidding, man.
Yeah, the sun is healing. Hey, I just wanted to throw a little bit more. You guys put some of the facts out. The rest of the facts are her DNA, the testing said that the Indian that they found in her, which was so little, it was back 6 to 10 generations back is where they somehow estimated her so-called Indian heritage.
Yeah, I saw that too. It was like 0.1% or something like that.
One, you know, was it 1/500th or something like that? She is Indian. I mean, wouldn't we all be Indian if we went back 6 to 10 generations? We'd probably find a little bit of Indian in there. I don't know about me, but, you know, I think most of us probably could.
But
what do you think?
But should Donald Trump still be owing $1 million to her favorite charity? I mean, she did technically prove.
Well, yeah, technically, if he said, well, and I didn't hear the words exactly, but if the word, if
it's his own words.
Said, if you can find any Indian in you, I will pay $1 million. It doesn't matter if it's one billion Indian.
To be clear,
still pay.
This all started, they were doing some bill of Native rights, and she said it was important to her because she knew that there was Cherokee ancestry in her background from her mother. She never claimed to be a large part Native. It was she just knew that that was a part of her makeup.
Well, I think Donald Trump was kind of going after her because something about when she was going to whatever college that she got preferential treatment because she was claiming
actually,
she was part
that's,
Indian.
That's completely false. The Boston Globe did an investigation on that. While she did put that on her application, it played no role. They did a full investigation, so it didn't help her at all in terms of advancing her career.
I know. I say, you know, if you're black, if you're Indian, you're Chinese, Japanese, aren't we supposed to be, you shouldn't have any preferential treatment. It doesn't matter if you're white, black, or anything. Based on, you should be based on you, not your what heritage you are or anything like that. That'd be nice if America was like that. That's not, I don't care if you're Indian. I don't care if you're black or you're Chinese or you're white or whatever. You're a human being. That's what we're going to base you on.
If only
that sounds like a pretty fair way to me.
I wish we lived in that world, and Randy, I'm going to let you go, but unfortunately we have this thing called privilege in this country, and if we were to ever get rid of that, which I don't know we'll ever run into that day here in this country, then yeah, maybe we could run into that scenario where we finally don't need, you know, any preferential treatment, as Randy likes to call it.
Yeah, it's in place because it's been found that statistically these groups get discriminated against, so there has to be protections in place to ensure a level playing field.
Yeah, exactly, and it's been pretty effective over the years. But, of course, with our Supreme Court, even before Brett Kavanaugh was confirmed, it's been going in the opposite direction since the Supreme Court said a few years ago in one of their rulings that racism's no longer a thing anymore. Essentially what they made in one of their rulings where they pretty much gutted the entire Voting Rights Act. And, of course, immediately after that, lots of states in the South started putting big voter restrictions in as soon as the Supreme Court struck down lots of a Voting Rights Act provisions. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Coming up next, we're going to be switching to local politics and talking about the CD8 race. There was a shocking poll that came out a few days ago from New York Times, Siena College, showing that the Republican Pete Stauber has a big lead over the Democrat Joe Radinovich. We're going to talk about if we should trust that poll and if it's true, why that's happening up next, as we'll be speaking with Aaron Brown of Minnesota Brown about CD8 politics on AM 950.
Tom Hartman here, letting you know how you can go solar with All Energy Solar, even way up north in Minnesota. Lots of people ask them, isn't Minnesota too cloudy for solar? No. The truth? For one thing, Minneapolis gets nearly as much sun each year as Houston, Texas. But it isn't just about how much sun you get. It's also about having access to great local incentive programs that make solar affordable. Learn what your options are to save with solar and visit allenergysolar.com today.
Hi, this is Ken Hagland, host of the Minnesota Healthcare Show, your resource for healthcare, elder care, and caregiver solutions, inviting you to listen to our live show airing on Saturdays from noon to 1. On my next show, I will be talking with the executive director of Genetic Health RX about pharmacogenetic testing and how it can help your doctor prescribe the correct medications for your unique genetic profile and prevent adverse drug reactions. Please join us this Saturday from noon to 1 for the Minnesota Healthcare Show.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-647-1579. 1-800-647-1579. That's 1-800-647-1579.
Are you worried because the pain, numbness, tingling, or burning in your feet never seems to go away? You may feel like Lyrica or gabapentin never seem to fix your problem. Many of you are concerned because your sleep, walking, and balance problems are only getting worse. At Woodbury and Plymouth Neuropathy Care, we've helped thousands of patients reverse their neuropathy symptoms without harmful drugs or painful injections.
Well, I had stabbing, burning, couldn't sleep at night, the numbness, I was unsure where I was. I didn't even know where my feet were, I was unsteady on them.
What did you notice change in your symptoms since starting?
Now I got my feeling in my feet, I don't have the tingling or the stabbing and burning. It just blows me away that it actually is gone.
Call Woodbury and Plymouth Neuropathy Care today to schedule your free neuropathy severity consultation to see if our treatment methods are right for you. Call 763-325-4998. That's 763-325-4998. 763-325-4998.
Connections Radio Show is all about tapping into our hardwired hunger to connect. We examine meaningful connections to ourselves, our community, and the world around us. By opening the door to innovative insights by a wide variety of interesting guests, we'll make the connections to something bigger than ourselves. Join me, Lori Fitz, your host of Connections Radio Show, and together, we'll make the connections. Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Food nourishes us. We need food to live. But how are we nourishing the food system? Well, actually, we're throwing a bunch of chemicals and we're making the dirt dead, and then we're adding nitrates to the water and we're causing dead zones in the ocean. Oh, and we're also causing climate change. We do that with every bite we eat. But we can create something different. We can switch to a regenerative system. And that's what we talk about every week on Food Freedom Radio. So tune to Food Freedom Radio Saturdays at 8 a.m. or anytime via podcast. Food Freedom Radio on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
AM 950 listeners, we have a home cleaning company with an offer just for you. They're Blue Sky Services. Blue Sky Services will wash your windows, siding, gutters, clean those black streaks off your roof, and much more. Window washing starts at $100. Siding cleaning starts at $199. Call Blue Sky Services at 651-447-4484 to ask for the AM 950 special. If you hear this, you have an exclusive house cleaning offer for AM 950 listeners. Call Blue Sky Services at 651-447-4484. That's 651-447-4484. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's Brett and Hunter on your Monday afternoon. Well, Minnesota is slated to be one of the most closely watched states on election night. We not only have two Senate races and an open seat for governor, but we, of course, also have four competitive congressional races. Well, at least we thought four competitive congressional races. But is one of those four races starting to move out of the toss-up category and into a likely Republican seat? That's the 8th Congressional District, which represents a large swath of northern Minnesota. A recent poll from New York Times Siena College found Republican Pete Stauber with a whopping 15-point lead over his DFL opponent Joe Radinovich. Joining us to talk about the CD8 race is Aaron Brown of Minnesota Brown. Aaron, welcome to the program.
Glad to be here, Brett.
Yeah, good to have you on. So let's talk about this poll. It found Stauber with 49%, Radinovich with 34%, and then 13% undecided. I'm sure a lot of those are probably Skip Sandman supporters, but it'd be easy to say that it's a biased poll, but if we look at this same polling group, New York Times, Siena College, they actually found that this was only a one-point race the last time they polled it. And it's not necessarily biased towards Republicans either on the surface, because it also found that Dean Phillips has a large lead in CD3 over Eric Paulson, while Angie Craig in CD2 has a large lead of 12 points over her Republican opponent, Congressman Jason Lewis. So what do you make of this poll? Is it real, and should the DFL be concerned?
Well, it is real, and the DFL should be concerned. There would always be the caution that it might not be as bad as it appears, but I think it's hard not to agree that there is movement towards Stauber in this race. You know, and a month ago when the same outfit did the same kind of poll, Radinovich led by a point. It was within the margin of error, but there was some sense that people thought Stauber would be leading at that point, and that the fact that Radinovich was actually ahead, if only by a point, showed that he was running stronger than expected. So there's a couple things. A, maybe that poll was shaded just a little bit towards Radinovich, and this one could be shaded just a little bit towards Stauber, just in the natural margins of error. That's possible, but it's certainly a wake-up call, because I think, and I've gotten this sense just from watching coverage of all of the competitive races in Minnesota, that people just kind of assumed that if the Democrats swept those two suburban seats in the second and third, that the eighth and the first would just go along with them. But I think this is evidence that the electorate in the 8th district is very different than the electorate in those other districts. And there are some fundamentals to the core of the 8th district electorate that's going to behave a lot like a red state. You know, it kind of has broken the way North Dakota broke after the Kavanaugh hearings, where now Senator Heitkamp is in almost an impossible situation for re-election. It feels like there was just a series of things that have broken Stauber's way, and that a lot of voters are especially of a certain age, the ones most likely to vote, are just going towards the Republicans. Doesn't mean it's the end of the road for Radinovich, but he needs something. This is evidence that the Democrats need to do something to counter this really unremitting storm of outside spending against Joe Radinovich. Yes, there are negative ads for both sides and mailers and the like, but Joe Radinovich, I think, has taken the worst of it during this campaign, and I think Democrats have to wake up to the fact that doing nothing will likely lead to Stauber winning this race.
Well, let's talk about why the race has potentially moved in that direction. Is it just because, as you brought up, that the district just naturally seems to be becoming more red, Or is it because of these negative ads, as you wrote about? I mean, Radinovich has been hit hard. I think you said during the Vikings game, it seemed like every two commercials was the negative ad against Radinovich. Why do you think it's going
this way?
Yeah,
it was two a break when I was watching. Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, two per break. And so he was getting hit hard. You know, I think the ads are not helping. I think it started with a relatively low name ID for both Radinovich and Stauber. And, you know, when it's like that, it's a race to define it's a race to define yourself in contrast to your opponent. And in that regard, I think when the Congressional Leadership Fund and some of these outside groups started hitting Radinovich on his parking tickets and calling him lawless or whatever the charge was, you know, that Radinovich responded to it and it had a news cycle and it seemed like he had weathered that. But then we see this enormous shift and based on the enormous repetition of those messages. And then I think getting to your other point, there are just some real fundamentals. This is an older district. It is older than the state average. It is whiter than the state average, and it has lower degrees of education than the state average. And those are all indicators of some of the kinds of political attitudes that have supported President Trump. And so if you consider that, you see that, you know, it's always going to be a challenge for a Democrat now to win, and certainly to win handily in this district. And you know, the Democrats got kind of spoiled in that they had Rick Nolan, who was almost a transitional figure from the way the district used to be to how the district is now. And now that we're working with a new candidate, younger candidate, maybe more aligned with the contemporary Democratic Party and the liberal core of that party, then you're seeing some resistance. And it doesn't, like I said, I'm not saying Radinovich is out of it, but I do think that this went from what I firmly believe was a 50-50 total toss-up, and now it's you know, probably 2-1 chance at least that Stauber wins this. So it's there are things that could break Radinovich's way, but he needs them to break his way.
Well, let's talk about some of the campaign strategy for Joe Radinovich and, of course, the DFL-aligned groups. Going back to that attack that Republicans used against him with parking tickets, at least on the surface to me, this is my own personal opinion, that just seems like a really weak attack that wouldn't have a lot of legs. But has it just been the case that he hasn't been fighting back enough, or he hasn't himself been going necessarily negative against Stauber? What have you made of Radinovich's campaign strategy?
Well, I think he responded to it, but he responded to it like you would respond to a press release as opposed to a repetitive message that's been hit again and again and again and again in all local television for the last several weeks, all internet. I mean, you can't, where I can't go on Google or go anywhere without seeing a digital ad that repeats that message. Granted, I'm... My political search history is probably part of the cause of that, but certainly it's a huge amount of spending, and so I think the only way to truly counter that is to come up with a message of your own that contrasts or that would defy that message somehow. He's tried to do it with his own ads, but you know, it's not been very direct, and I think part of the whole problem is that they got caught by this in a way that showed that they didn't think it would come up, and it clearly has, and I don't think they were quite ready for it. So that's a one strategic, I guess you could call it a misstep by the Radinovich campaign. As far as what to do, I mean, one of the things that hasn't been done, it's been attempted, is to try to define, you know, what Pete Stauber is and what his agenda represents. There have been the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee had an ad that ran for a couple weeks, moderately. It was certainly a strong jab. It lacked much difference from other kinds of ads like it for other candidates. I suppose that's why it might not have stood out as much. But you know, the fact is, Pete Stauber has a record of being, you know, he's a Tea Party organizer, and he said a lot of you know, very I guess you could say outrageous or radical things during the Tea Party movement before he had ever run for office, and a lot of that stuff they're having a hard, either they have a hard time hitting them on it, or they haven't figured out how to hit them on it. And I don't know why. I don't know why that is. That's not really my place to say, I guess. Mm-hmm. But I think people have been bouncing back and forth in this district as to what they want to vote for, and right now they're not seeing the reason why to vote for Radinovich. In a way, that's kind of tragic, because one of the ads that they've been hitting Radinovich on lately has been hitting him on Medicare. And it almost sounds like a Democratic attack ad against Radinovich, saying that he was threatening Medicare as we know it and all this stuff that you often hear from Democrats. And really what he's doing is he's proposing an expansion of Medicare. And they're nevertheless making it look like he's the one against Medicare. And again, with an older population that's more traditional, and they see the language the way it is, I think they're kind of creating a pathway to Stauber for a lot of those swing voters who are older, who aren't quite sure about the world and the way it's going, and mm-hmm. and they're making it easy to vote for Stauber, and Democrats aren't really responding very strongly yet.
Yeah, that attack you wrote about just struck me as so fascinating, that they go after him on Medicare, since that would seem to at least be one of Radinovich's strongest, appeals to people, was wanting to expand Medicare. But I don't know, have we seen other Republicans around the country go with this style of ad? I know I'm kind of putting you on the spot there, but it seems like
I don't know about other Republicans. It's another one from that same outfit, mm-hmm. the Congressional Leadership Fund, and I'd really like to know how much they're spending, because it feels like they're spending a lot of money on this district, probably millions of dollars, and that's one of these super PACs where you don't quite know where them. I don't remember or know who the funders are of that particular organization, but they've been spending a ton, and they've been criticized in other districts for outrageous attacks and scurrilous attacks. Some of these attacks against Radinovich are at minimum, fair game in terms of, political discourse. But a lot of them are, like the Medicare one is one of the most intellectually dishonest ads I've seen, just because Radinovich is running on Medicare, and he's being attacked for it as a threat to Medicare. That is a stretched by far, and that's the kind of thing that, if that's what's working, I don't even know what you do. Up is down, dog is cat. It seems like in an age of disinformation, where disinformation is many times defeating information, this is a classic example of that. But classic political strategy 101 is, don't let your opponent define you, and don't let your top issue be turned against you. And that's what you're trying to do, and then you're trying to do it against the other guy. And right now, I think the poll result that we're all charged up about really has more to do with how the Stauber and his allied forces have been more successful at that basic tenet of campaigning than Radinovich and his aligned forces have been.
Yeah, it sounds like a playbook out of the old Karl Rove playbook, an old play out of there.
Yeah, very, very similar. Yeah. It very reminds you very much of the 2002, right after 9/11, where a lot of those kinds of ads came out. It's very similar to that.
So has this GOP surge that we've at least seen through some polling data trickle down to some of the state house races in the area, and are DFLers concerned in that aspect as well?
The routing of the DFLers in the last election in the 8th district and other rural places was fairly complete. And so at this point, the DFL, in trying to get the state house back, is trying to win back mostly suburban seats, but a few of these rural seats they have their eyes on. Two of them are right in my neighborhood, the district, Senate District 5. There's the 5A and 5B. And really, if you look at where people are spending money, this one of the few rural seats where DFLers are making a play is in those two districts, at least up here in the 8th district. And honestly, if Trump's approval rating in those districts is above 50 or even higher, as some Republicans are crowing that it's, I've heard a Republican tell me it was 70%. If that's the case, I don't know if that's the case, but if it is the case, I don't see any way the DFL wins those seats. But We'll see. I don't know the numbers. I don't know what people are saying about those other swing races. But as I said in a recent post, I really feel that the DFL should win at least one of those seats because I don't think they can run the table on every competitive suburban seat. I think they'll win a lot of them. They will win most of them, but will they win all of them? I think that's a hard road, and I think the DFL has to figure out how to win one of these rural seats. I think one of their best chances is in District 5. Either John Purcell in Bemidji or Pat Maduri in Grand Rapids, but both of those candidates are facing an uphill against Republican incumbents that are, you know, have stayed out of the news, have stayed pretty well lockstep with their party, and it's hard to get people to change their minds who voted for those same people 2 years ago.
We're speaking with Aaron Brown of Minnesota Brown. One final question for you, Aaron, before I let you go. Is the surge in GOP support we've seen in rural northern Minnesota due pretty much only to Trump? And when he's gone, could we see this start to move not entirely back in the DFL direction, but at least kind of moderate out once he's off the ballot and out of office?
There are two parts of it. One of it is, yeah, they're excited about Trump, but they're excited not about Trump. In fact, a lot of people know what's wrong with Trump, you know, in terms of his just being an unpleasant person at times, but they like the cultural dynamic represented by Trump, and that's not going away. You know, one of the strong problems that exist here, really the reason the 8th District fell so far out of the DFL camp in 2016 is, yeah, Trump, but also there was a strong dislike of Hillary Clinton, and the word Democrat and Democratic politics, these are folks that, for various reasons, partly because of what's in the media and how conservative media has become so politicized, like more than usual, more than even a bias, but an act of like strategy. The word Democrat is poison. Democratic Party is poison. The words are poison to a lot of voters, and they might grow to dislike Trump or dislike the Republican Party. But there will be quite a lot of mental gymnastics to get folks to realize that Democratic policies and even, dare I say it, liberal policies might have some merit in discussion. And it will take a skilled communicator and a skilled strategy to reach these rural voters who have concluded that strategy is not for them, many times for cultural reasons. And that's going to be a tricky challenge. And I guess we'll see, but that's how any political interview could end, I suppose.
Well, that's what the DFL needs, a strong communicator, because as you said, they have certainly fallen far in CD8, not only in the congressional race, but also, of course, in the local races as well. We'll have to continue this discussion another time. Aaron, really want to thank you for joining us on the program. That was Aaron Brown of Minnesota Brown. You can find his work over at his Minnesota Brown blog. Aaron, thanks so much for joining us on the program today.
Thanks, Brett. Glad to be here.
952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. We were hearing Aaron just talk about a second ago how a lot of Republicans are trying to attack Joe Radinovich on Medicare. We'll touch on that a little bit later on after the break, including an interesting quote from the Star Tribune editorial board about how Medicare came to be back in the 1960s. If you have thoughts, again, call us 952-946-6205. Brett and Hunter on AM 950.
As you know, I'm an animal lover, and you'd be surprised the mess just a tiny little chihuahua and guinea pig can manage to create. Thankfully, I call Zero Res to clean up the spots my critters leave on the carpeting. Their patented power water will clean the toughest messes and won't leave behind any of those smelly stains. Just call 952-ZERO-RES and tell them you're an AM 950 listener. And if you're looking for a new gig, they are now hiring. Go to the careers page on ZeroResMN.com for info. Zero Res, spell it backward or forwards, it spells the same.
I'm Athena Janakis Karas, and my family invites you to join us at It's Greek to Me on the corner of Lake and Lindale. Since purchasing this iconic restaurant 2 years ago, our passion has been building upon the traditional by infusing the menu and space with modern interpretations of classic Greek cuisine. Sourcing fresh, authentic ingredients and recipes cultivated from our Greek heritage, your meal will be quintessentially Greek. Find It's Greek to Me at 626 Westlake Street in Minneapolis or at itsgreektomemn.com.
Tap, taste, and treasure at Vinaigrette, where we have some warm seasonal recipes all ready to create dynamite meals. Our fig balsamic vinegar pairs perfectly with roasted Brussels sprouts or baked brie. And sweet potatoes are always a winner, but never more than when they're roasted with a drizzle of vinaigrette cinnamon or orange-fused extra virgin olive oil on top. Come in today for more custom-crafted food and cocktail recipes at Vinaigrette, 50th and Xerxes in Minneapolis and 287 Water Street in downtown Excelsior. Online at vinaigrettemn.com.
I'm Athena Janakis Karas, and my family invites you to join us at It's Greek to Me on the corner of Lake and Lindale. Since purchasing this iconic restaurant 2 years ago, our passion has been building upon the traditional by infusing the menu and space with modern interpretations of classic Greek cuisine. Sourcing fresh, authentic ingredients and recipes cultivated from our Greek heritage, your meal will be quintessentially Greek. Find It's Greek to Me at 626 Westlake Street in Minneapolis or at itsgreektomemn.com.
Hey Minnesota, Norman Goldman here. Catch me live every weeknight from 5 to 8 p.m. right here on AM 950. Whether it's a recap of the day's news, legal analysis, or teaching civics, justice is always served on the Norman Goldman Show. Today on the show, I'm off for a family wedding, but Ed Maher and Jake Lewis, two labor leaders in Chicago, are handling the duties today live from WCPT. Enjoy their show.
I'll be back Thursday.
Hello, humans. This is me, Ellie Krug, with Ellie 2.0 Radio. News flash about my show. It's now an hour long, running from 7 to 8 a.m. every Monday. The longer time slot will allow for interviews of idealists doing important work in the world. Ellie 2.0 Radio. Listen every Monday from 7 to 8 a.m. My show. It's engaging and real. And it's on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Atheists Talk is the radio show for free-thinking Minnesotans. Listen on Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock. Every Sunday, we bring you science, philosophy, politics, and plain old fun from an atheist's point of view. Visit our website at MinnesotaAtheists.org for more details. Tune in to Atheists Talk Radio Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock on KTNF AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's good radio without the good book.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Hunter Hawes. Tonight, increasing clouds with a low around 34. Tuesday, mostly sunny with a high near 50. And Wednesday, sunny with a high near 48. Lytton's Party Value has moved 1 mile north. Getting to Lytton's Party Value is easy. Just Google 913 Plymouth Avenue North. Shop their haunting Halloween and fabulous fall sections. Yes, free parking, or shop online at partyvalue.com.
The voice of Minnesota. Man, I'm feeling patriotic right now.
Yeah.
I love that, yeah. That used to be the song that was the big performance we do at our band concert every year back at the high school.
My great-grandfather was in the John Philip Sousa band.
Oh, man.
That's why I put it on.
Yeah, yeah. Basically, the story was it was the big Eden Prairie band performance where they had every level from the intermediate, the middle school, and the high school all play during those concerts. The high schoolers would, of course, get the challenging part. I didn't do band beyond middle school, so I got kind of the easy parts, but got a kick out of always playing that song. That's exactly what it reminds me of every time I hear Stars and Stripes Forever. Like the choice on the bumper music. We got to save that for the 4th of July coming up next year, don't
definitely.
We? Yeah. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Gary Latham, will get to you in just a second, but wanted to go back to something that Aaron talked about during our interview from just a few minutes ago, how Republicans are trying to turn this whole Medicare argument on the head of Democrats by saying Democrats want to change Medicare as we know it, even though Democrats actually want to expand Medicare, which in my opinion would be a really good thing. So the Star Tribune editorial board, normally we like to give them a hard time sometimes here on AM 950, but today they actually came out with, I thought, what was a really good piece. Here's the quote from part of what they wrote today. They said, "This campaign season, political attack ads are filling the airwaves with ominous warnings against a government-run single-payer healthcare system. As the funeral music escalates, it's worth taking a step back and remembering that similar rhetoric abounded in the 1960s as Congress considered, then passed, a controversial government-run healthcare program. And what was that program called? Medicare. In fact, one of the big opponents of Medicare in 1960s was, get this, good old St. Ronnie. That'd be Ronnie Reagan. Ronald Reagan said back in the 1960s, quote, you and I can't do a Ronald Reagan impression, so I'll just read it in my normal voice. Can you do a Ronald Reagan impression?
No.
No, yeah, I can't do one either. Anyways, here's what he said in the 1960s about Medicare when he was coming out against it. You and I are going to spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it once was like to live in America when men were free. That's what he said about Medicare, and of course, none of that happened. We don't live in a socialist society at all. That was some of the ominous warnings we heard about Medicare back in the 1960s, and some of the same stuff we're hearing nowadays with a lot of Republicans attacking Democrats on that issue, including Joe Radinovich really being hit hard in CD8 by that issue as well. One other quick thing on health insurance, especially here in Minnesota, and why we really need an option for Minnesota care, is that a few weeks ago, the state's announcement of lower individual health insurance rates this year would be good news for average Minnesotans, but area lawmakers are actually fearing that the rate decreases won't be enough for, get this, greater Minnesota and independent contractors that are already paying thousands of dollars each year. That's because only two insurance companies, Blue Cross and Medica, are offering plans in South Central Minnesota. That's Trump territory, and they're only getting two choices of insurers to get their health insurance from. Seems to me they need more competition. Taking a Republican talking point, and maybe we could get them that competition from Minnesota Care if we were to offer that government-run option for more choice, because it's the free market, right? Free market all the way, at least taking that Republican talking point. Hey, we got full phone lines. Let's go to our buddy Gary in Minneapolis. You're up first, Gary. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I'm going to mention that Medicare and Social Security. First of all, the Republicans, well, we got Social Security. One more than four, almost all of them opposed Medicare in the first place. And that damn Reagan, he's going to start the process of privatizing Medicare to put the proprietary to Medicare like in the rest of the insurance. And when I got on Medicare, my premiums went down, what was it? $400 a month, and that's the Democrats want to make it better for everybody and get their premiums on $400 a month. But right now they're trying to put me on that private Medicare stuff that Ronnie started, and my premiums going to go up quite a bit. Anyways, I'm going to try not to get out of that. They're subsidizing the private proprietary insurance companies with original Medicare, taken from original Medicare. Anyways, I want to talk about their hypocritical attacking us. They always attack us, and they should look at themselves because they do exactly what they attack us for. Kellyanne Conway accuses Elizabeth Warren of junk science. How about their war on climate science and evolution? Trump attacks fake news. How about Trump TV at Murdoch's Fox News? We Democrats, Trump calls us bad people. And they maybe should look at themselves on that, too. How about their right-wing hate groups and white supremacist supporters? And us Democrats got rid of those Southern boll weevils, our party, once and for all. We pushed against civil rights and equality for people in this country. They all left or got beat by them Southern voters because the blacks couldn't vote down there until we got civil rights for a lot of them. Anyways, they would not recruit them with the race cards. You know, welfare Cadillacs, welfare Queens. Nixon started it in Wallace with, racial rhetoric, law and order, and all that stuff. So anyways, that's them for you. They're the biggest hypocrites there is.
Whew, I'm out of breath after that one. I wasn't even the one talking there, Gary.
I wouldn't forget anything there. Them guys, you know, it's hard not to like them a little bit. I got some in-laws and a cousin that I don't even talk to them about it because they're conditioned. I'll tell you, the American people, Cronkite said years ago, are too ignorant to keep their democracy. We're really in a lot of trouble.
Hey,
you can't even talk issues with these people.
Yeah, pretty much. Hey, Gary, before we let you go, I got to run some other phone calls. What's our joke of the day?
I got one to lighten it up. A woman is driving down the highway. The cop stops her and says, "Show me your driver's license." And she says, "What's wrong with you, yo-yo? You took it from me yesterday, and now you want to see it."
That gets a thumbs up from me. How about you, Hunter?
Okay, the humor helps me escape all this crap I was just talking about, called Republican-led BS. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Gary. That gets a thumbs up from me. How about you in there?
Gary's whole call gets two thumbs up from
two
me.
Two thumbs up from you. I like it. Hey, let's move along to Latham in Minneapolis. He wants to talk about how Democrats can't get complacent. Latham, what's on your mind?
First of all, I'm going to start by saying I'm not really a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I've always kind of considered myself an independent.
Okay, independent.
We're not in a reality where we can realistically vote third party.
Mm-hmm.
It would be nice if we could, but we
can't.
Yeah,
it's unfortunate, right, yeah.
Yeah, I've been voting Democrat, and it's important that we do, but I see a lot of people saying, just get the Democrats in and it'll all be better, which is not true, necessarily. I mean, we need to get the Democrats in, and it might slow down the decline. But I've seen, on Facebook, they shared this differences between Democrats and Republicans, and right at the top was why I couldn't share it, because they said Republicans are against universal health care, Democrats are for it. And there are plenty of Democrats who are taking money from insurance companies.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to keep that in mind. It's not just a matter of getting them in there. We need to hold them to it, make sure that they do not, make sure that they know if we get them in office and they don't do something, we're going to get them out of office next time. Because in 2009, we had opportunities. They thought, hey, everything's going great right now. I'm assuming they looked at it and said, hey, things are going great. Let's not rock the boat. And we can't let them do that.
Hey, Latham, really appreciate the call. Some good points you brought up there. And I agree with you that if Democrats get in power, it's not necessarily a guarantee that things are automatically going to get better. I mean, a lot of people would make arguments going back to the first 2 years of the Obama administration and Democratic-controlled Congress. There were a lot of missed opportunities where we could have made more progress on a lot of different issues. So I think it is very important that if it is a blue wave this year, that we do hold a lot of our elected leaders accountable for the actions they take coming up. And I know that's what Hunter was mentioning just a few minutes ago with his Indivisible group, is that if they get people elected that they endorse, that they want to hold them accountable as well. So lots of good points for Latham. Glad you could call us. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Oh, man, we got full phone lines again. I'm going to make Hunter juggle right now and see if we can move on to our next caller. Let's go to Julie in Minneapolis. Julie, what's on your mind today?
Yeah, I would say let's be careful about turning over, the Democrats. Let's be careful about turning things over inadvertently to someone like you-know-who in the Oval Office, because our people aren't perfect. I just want to say about Medicare. Medicare, of course, is for people on disability as well as seniors. And the Democrats do need to speak up. When the Republicans cut, $450 million from Medicare, I don't hear a word. I don't hear a word in the media. And the Democrats need to speak up. And as far as, the criticism from the Republicans, to Democrats about Medicare, we need to tell the public that the Republicans want to eliminate Medicare, Social Security, and Medicaid, and they wanted to get rid of them for many, many, many decades. And that's all I have to say about that. Thank you.
All right, Julie, thanks so much for the call. Yeah, I just find this attack that they're using, maybe it's out of that old Karl Rove playbook where you attack your opponent's biggest strength, and that seems to be the case where Republicans are saying, I should say, and a lot of conservative-aligned PAC groups are trying to attack a lot of left-leaning candidates by saying they want to change Medicare as you know it, which I guess technically is right, but it's very misleading because they actually want to expand Medicare, not get rid of it. So overall, misleading attack ad, and for people that don't really follow the news cycle very well, that could be effective. So probably is a page out of the old Karl Rove playbook. Let's move on to John in Roseville. He wants to talk about northern Minnesota and the 8th Congressional District. Hello, John. How are you doing today?
I'm pretty good. Yourself?
Yeah, doing good here.
I just wanted to mention, it was either last week or the week before when Mark Pocan was on the Tom Hartman show, and he had just been in District 8. He commented that almost all of Pete Stauber's money is coming from the Paul Ryan Super PAC, and of the tens of millions of dollars in that Super PAC, only $250 has come from the state of Minnesota.
That's not a very high percentage, is it?
All that money is out-of-state money.
Yeah, and that's actually what Aaron Brown was saying on our last interview, too, how that PAC group is bringing lots of money into that race. And he said, I think, when he was watching the Vikings game yesterday, about every ad break had two anti-Radinovich ads that I think were pretty much coming from that very attack group. And as you said, yeah, that's all coming from that Paul Ryan group because they really see CD8 as about the only district they could flip from Democrat to Republican this year.
Yeah, as I was thinking, he said he wasn't sure where it was coming from. And
That's actually from his blog post, yeah, where he got into detail. Yeah, we may not have talked about it on the air, but yeah, that certainly is where a lot of that money is coming from.
Yeah, I know, to me, Paul Ryan is maybe the second biggest hypocrite in all of Congress.
Oh, who's the first?
Maybe that Mitch McConnell.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, that's an easy one. I should have picked that up. Yeah, Mitch McConnell's the ultimate hypocrite. You could probably put Eric Paulson up there, just about any of those Republicans you could put up there as the biggest hypocrite.
Yeah, those first two, I'm convinced, do not have a conscience. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Hey, John, thanks so much for the call. Really appreciate it. I just want to say something quickly about Mitch McConnell. Even though I think he's terrible for our country, I have to admit he is a brilliant politician.
Oh, God, yeah, I know.
I mean, I hate to say it. He's the guy, like, if you're playing a pickup street basketball game, he's the guy that's going to say there's a foul every time. He's going to do whatever it takes to win. He's going to push. He's going to shove. He'll say everything's unfair. That's exactly who Mitch McConnell is. And even though I totally hate his politics, he is a great, great strategist, and I have to give him that.
He is for getting his agenda through. But what will the consequences be for what he's done and all the norms and standards he's broken? Like, is this going to bite them in the long term? Because there's a lot of unwritten rules that the Senate had abided for the past 200, 300 years that he's just thrown out the window. So is this going to be long term dangerous for Republicans because of that?
Well, will he even care? Because I think he's running for re-election in 2020, but I think he would be too old to run again by 2026.
Yeah, but he's obviously trying to create a conservative utopia for the future.
I think he's doing that. I just think he's in it for himself.
Do you? No, he's got to be. He's driven by something. You wouldn't go this far.
That'd be an interesting discussion to have about Mitch McConnell. I follow him a lot, and generally what he says is kind of right, how he originally recommended to Donald Trump, whatever you do, do not pick Brett Kavanaugh. And I think he ended up being right about that situation. Yeah. So, at least my thoughts. We should have a bigger conversation about McConnell another day. It's an interesting one. Brett Johnson, Hunter Haas, filling in on AM 950. Stay tuned. Tomorrow, Hunter's got an interesting interview on right-wing media. That's coming up next. Tomorrow on AM 950.